This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack out this week for paternity leave again, though honest Jack, his AI counterpart who cannot tell a lie, will deliver the top 5 at 5 later on.
Okay.
We are talking about whether Saquon Barkley's 2024 season is the best individual season in Philadelphia sports in the last 50 years. Ike says yes. I have him third behind Moses, 82-83, and 80 Schmidt. Iverson has been mentioned as well. We've had a vote for, and by the way, you can if somebody else mentioned it, you want to argue something somebody else mentioned, that's fine as well. We had Carlton's 28 win season and then Roy Halladay in 2010. So AJ Brown was on the Kicking It With D podcast. Do you know what who D is? I don't know what this podcast
no
is.
No clue, to be honest. Okay.
Kicking It With D.
Yeah. It's D Brown. It probably doesn't look like D Brown. Yeah, it doesn't look
at
like
least D not Brown. The D Brown you and I.
Yes,
know,
yeah, it doesn't look like D Brown. So the we have a couple of clips from this, and we'll have more. The first one, we have the one of him explaining his Instagram post, right? Okay, this is I have not heard this yet. So they asked AJ about his Instagram post. They came the 2 days after the Super Bowl, where he said that, just to recap, he said that winning a championship doesn't feel like he thought it was going to feel, and he only really thrives when he's dominating, and on to next year, so on and so forth. And there was a little bit of a kerfuffle about it. So here is AJ on that Instagram post.
What do you think would have made that moment what you expected it to be? Or maybe there isn't an answer. Yeah, maybe it's just like you said, you like the grind, you like the game.
Yeah.
15 catches, 4 touchdowns, 200 yards.
You know, see, we can get into that too because I got a dog. His name is Elijah Moore, my dog.
Yeah.
We always talk about after the game, like, how you feel, bro? You just went off. And I'm like, normal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I kind of removed that mentality. It's like, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
After the game.
You have to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. And you got to come back down to zero.
Mm-hmm. Or else you right here all day, every day. You right there.
You know, and even if you do have the worst game ever, you have to come back down to zero. It's just something to learn from. Mm-hmm. Even if you have the best game ever, it's something you got to come back down to zero because you got to learn from it. And I just kind of adopted that mentality. And I didn't know how to cut the switch off. Like, mm-hmm. we just won a Super Bowl. And so I'm just feeling like, all right, what's next? And, you know, a lot of people kind of got upset about it, but you know, you really don't understand it because it's like I make so many sacrifices for this game,
right?
And you know, I'm insane to people who's watching me on a daily basis, do these things, and it's like I'm gonna do this every single day because I'm devoted to my craft. And so the part where I get the thrill from is like when somebody challenged me and try to take what's on my plate.
Mm. Dog mentality.
That's my fix. That's my fix, because, mm-hmm. like, how dare you think you about to take what I work so damn hard for?
Right.
And so that's what get me going. That's what get my blood going, like,
yeah,
you know. And people kind of took the message the wrong way, saying, like, it was on some selfish stuff. But, like, it's like, nah, like, you just don't understand.
So that's AJ Brown on the Kicking It With D podcast.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting, him saying after every game, you sort of have to zero out, whether you had a great game or a bad game, mm-hmm. and he didn't know how to turn that off. Mm-hmm. And that's how he felt after the Super Bowl. And that actually kind of makes sense to me. Not having one game where the job no longer is to prepare for the next week mm-hmm. and no longer to wash the last week out of your brain, it's to enjoy it. And but I actually understand how that feels.
He's not getting the joy that he expected out of winning. He's conquered what he was trying to conquer, but the joy for him is the work towards getting it.
Yeah, and what he normally does is he's like, okay, I think this way about ratings, right? Mm-hmm. Is that every time, I'm not comparing myself to A.J. Brown, just trying to put myself in his headspace, mm-hmm. is every time we do well, I smile, I say good, and I'm like, all right, we got to do a show today, whatever.
Sure.
If there was some ratings championship that was the be-all, end-all, and we just win,
right?
I wouldn't even know how to feel after that. Mm-hmm. So I guess what he's trying to say is he is normally, just turning off whatever happened the day before and preparing for the next one, and there is no next one this year, and he didn't know how to turn off that mentality, so he couldn't just sit there and enjoy it.
I think that's all fine and dandy. I think athletes are wired different. I get athletes sort of being in this bubble of the way they see and do things that are different than fans or people who aren't necessarily athletes. The only thing I would say with AJ is that when you tweet something, how could you not expect people to misinterpret what you're tweeting?
Yes,
they aren't athletes. You're tweeting to however many hundreds of thousands of fans you have. You're not tweeting to the 20 or 30 or 50 or 200 athletes you know or have in common with. You're tweeting to all your other fans who don't play football. So how could you not expect them to, or at least some of them, to interpret what you're saying a different way than what you're intending for it to be interpreted? So it's great that he cleared it up, because this is why speaking on the radio is much better for what we just, why I don't reply on Twitter about stuff, because I can say something on Twitter and it's just in that caption and then people can run with it whatever way they want to. But I got 4 hours, 5 days a week to explain in detail my thoughts and where I'm coming from, right? Even we're conscious about clips we put out there on the internet. If you clip something from our show, I don't want you to clip certain things, because if you put that out there on its own,
it's not going to have any context.
It doesn't have the real context of what I was saying.
Right.
So I can't be upset when people react to a clip that's being placed out there. Just like when you tweet something and it's something that only someone in your position would necessarily be able to understand, then you can't be surprised when people misinterpret what you're tweeting.
Yeah, I think him responding to the response to it is the wrong part.
Yeah.
Is that, how could you not know that that's how they're going to feel?
At least some people are going to take it a certain way.
I think that the thing that I will always have trouble understanding is, and this is a generational thing, because A.J. Brown's, what, 27 years old?
I don't even know if he's 27, is he?
He might be 26,
yeah.
27, whatever he is.
Yep.
Is that there's a whole generation of people, like Jack or whatever, mm-hmm. who have grown up their entire life. When they feel something, they put it on the internet. And there's this thing where, like, you grow up like that, but then all of a sudden, you wake up one day, and you're one of the most famous people in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, A.J. Brown's not, 10th on that list, but he's certainly a lot closer to one than any of us will ever be.
Yeah.
And I just don't think humans are designed to be able to emote like that and then get the amount of feedback that they end up getting.
Yeah.
And because you can't handle it. Like, there's no way you can look at the replies of what he said. So first, it's him not totally understanding that people would misinterpret what he said, mm-hmm. and then him getting mad at the people who misinterpreted what he said. But I completely understand how he felt. Like, that makes sense to me how
in
he felt.
In full detail, him explaining. I get it as well. I get it. I'm just saying, you can't be surprised when laymen misinterpret what you're putting out there.
Yes.
this is what's going to happen.
So we have another one here, and this is him talking about Coach Sirianni. Is that what we have here, Fran, or do we have – that's what we got? All right. So here's A.J. Brown on the Kicking It With D podcast. We we don't think it's D. Brown. It's not D. Snyder.
It's from definitely Twisted not D. Sister. Brown. At least not the D. Brown from the Celtics.
Yeah, it's not D. Snyder from Twisted Sister. It's some D. Here's him talking about his relationship with Coach Sirianni.
Me and Nick have a great relationship. So you know, you see people. We kind of the same person.
Yeah,
we're fiery a little bit, you know, but we definitely understand each other. And you know, we're gonna talk a little noise.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
But our relationship it's got a lot better. Man, we check in all the time. Either I go and sit in his office, or we're FaceTime in the week, just checking in, just see like what's going on and. You know, just how we feeling or what we thinking, you know what I'm saying? And he always, like, he don't let that friendship side, like, get in the way of being a coach either, you know, because I don't mind him coaching me hard. Like, I think the week before we left to New Orleans, like, he had chewed me out on a walkthrough. And it was cool, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, sometimes that's needed, you know, because, you know, you can get too close with people, but it's always a business, and you know what we're here
for. Yeah.
And we don't let that get in the way of our friendship. He's still a good coach, and he's going to coach me hard and coach everybody hard. So, but
I tell you, every time you hear just about every Eagles player talk about Nick Sirianni, it is feels like the best combination of accountability and relatability that you can have in his position, you know?
Yeah.
And it probably helps he's a little younger, too, right? Than you know, the coaches in their 60s.
And he's been a position coach. He's coached that position. He's been here long enough through the good times and bad times. And as long as those guys don't go in the tank when he does coach them hard, then he's always going to feel empowered to coach. Like, that's what you got to be able to do. And that happens with your best players. I've been in that position. And you know, Nick Saban, curse you out. I could have had 15 tackles in the game. He's going to focus on the three plays where I didn't necessarily get in the right gap I was supposed to be in. I took a block on the wrong way that allowed the ball to bounce out for an 8-yard gain on 3rd and 17. Even though they didn't pick up the first down, we still gave up 8 yards on that play. That's Nick Saban for you. You know what I mean? And he would get on his top players. Andy was the same way. Jim Johnson was the same way. Harbaugh was the same way. Like, good coaches know they have to be able to do that. And great players, more importantly, are willing to accept that. I loved everything I heard from AJ right there talking about Coach Sirianni. No one knew Coach Sirianni chewed him out. Who the hell gets chewed out in a walkthrough? It's a walkthrough.
Right.
So I don't know why he chewed him out or whatever.
And then during the game, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. I can understand the game, but in a walkthrough, that's a leisurely thing that is usually not intense. But something must have happened where Nick felt like he needed to get on AJ. AJ took it, didn't take it personal or anything of that nature, and didn't have a problem recanting it. And speaking about that's how their sort of coach and player relationship is, because he still spoke about talking to each other FaceTime when they're away from the building, checking in with each other. Like, those are things that earns Coach Sirianni, the right and the ability to coach his players hard. It's like being a parent, right? Well, my kids, you know, there's enough love shown, there's enough indifference shown, there's enough spoiling that's gone on throughout their years. I've earned the right to get on them when I feel like I need to get on them. And they don't take it to that, to personal that way. You know what I mean? So there's enough good, there's what I'm saying. He's put enough goodwill in the bank on lifting these guys up and encouraging them that he's earned the right to be critical of them and I guess and sometimes had to admonish them when he feels it's necessary to do and his players don't necessarily hold it against him. That's a good thing.
So I think two things about that. First is Nick knowing what motivates his players is important, right? So most players would be motivated by one either better performance or two more money or three winning, whatever. So if when Nick is criticizing AJ and it's about something that's going to make AJ better, then he is going to be more willing to hear it because he knows if I listen, it's going to make me better. And the other thing that I would be interested to know more about, really, is there's, you know, they say, he says they're friends, and I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. But there's always this line that you can't totally cross, right?
Yeah.
That you can you can be friends, but also the relationship has to be one where he's the coach and he's the player. And it can't, it's a very, very, very thin line, but it has to stay on one side, or then it's all of a sudden somebody's going to expect preferential treatment because they're friends or whatever.
Yep.
So
yep.
Nick being able to have them feel like they're so close, but also respect him as head coach and the guy calling the shots there, I think is a credit to Nick as well.
It is. And coaches, that's a dance that coaches have to do. And it's even harder for them to do with star players.
Yeah.
It's easy to coach me. You feel me?
No,
It's a lot harder. You got to walk in line with Brian Dawkins.
Well, look,
or Troy Vincent or Jeremiah Trotter.
I've had the opportunity to coach a linebacker and a fullback and a quarterback. And I can tell you, you got to coach them differently. They don't know. Not everybody.
Well, I know that quarterback you had to coach in. That had to be the hardest one.
Yeah, different. It's different. It's different. So we have.
It definitely is.
Do you want to hear AJ talking about Jalen?
Sure.
Okay. So here is AJ on the Kicking It With D podcast talking about Jalen Hurts.
Dude, all I'll ask about Jalen, bro, ain't no way he that damn cool in person,
he
bro.
Cool.
Watch the whole time, bro. Every address in the media, it'd be like a thought out, like civil rights speech he given. Like, and it could just be a, it was great. It was this, it was that. I'm like, he cool as hell. He always like that, or that's just the media, Jalen?
Nah, that's he like that.
That's him.
That's him. He like that all the time.
That's him. Damn. Oh man!
Say less.
You good. Like that all the time.
Say less. I'm crying, bro.
We're gonna stop talking about other people.
Well, that was mostly the other guys talking about Jalen. To be honest, with you. Look, you heard it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You expected more of a glowing endorsement or something.
Well, it was just like, yo, he's the coolest guy in the world, right? So cool, so cool. Is he always like that? He's like, yeah, he's like that.
Yeah, I love AJ, man.
I'm not making that up. I'm sorry. You know, just say this. You heard the way he talked about Nick.
Right.
You know, like... That's all. Not everybody has to be best friends.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. It's all good.
So there is some, and we'll get to it coming up. There is some with AJ talking about what the new offense will be like. And he actually talked about Myles Garrett as well. So we'll get to that. We were talking about whether Saquon, by the way, if you have any response to this AJ stuff, which I think is actually interesting. He's an interesting guy. 215-592-9494. What?
When you get to hear him talk, he's always interesting.
He is.
It's the tweets and it's the stuff that's cryptic that people don't know where he's necessarily coming from at times that confuses a lot of stuff.
And I think you could say this about a lot of people when you consume them on social media and then you hear them in long form is I find AJ to be, when he is just talking, one of the... I would say in my adult life, one of the athletes I like watching and listening to the best.
He's engaging. He's thoughtful. He's interesting. He has things that he's had to overcome that he's dealt with that also makes him relatable.
Yep.
You know, to people. So you know that side of him is there. You're right. I've heard him in too many other interviews where you know, you're like, man, AJ's a cool dude.
He is
a good dude,
and he's got a good smile.
Yeah.
He seems like a generally pretty affable guy, you know.
Yep.
But the difference is that when you see him on social, it is like there's like the angel on the shoulder, AJ, and the devil on the shoulder, and the devil on the shoulder, AJ, is every you know. I like AJ. When I saw that Instagram post, my first reaction was like, here we go, you know, but I never get that from him when I'm just listening to him. I think he's funny and interesting when I hear him. 215-592-9494, Craig in Downingtown. Craig, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What up, Craig?
What up, Craig?
All right, so with the Saquon thing.
Yes.
I'm going to go Saquon 1 and AI 1A.
Oh, you got to have a take, man. You got to pick. Make one and one and make one two.
right. We'll go with Saquon, and I'm basing it on which one was more fun to watch. I mean, Saquon was just a ton of fun to watch this year. It seemed like every game he did something that I was like, what? What did you just do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he took me back to T.O. He took me back. Watching Saquon this year was like watching T.O. in 2004.
It felt like you were watching an entirely different version of what you thought that position could be. Because we forget sometimes, we don't forget, Miles Sanders rushed for 100,000 yards here. DeAndre Swift is a good running back. You know, in 17, you know, Jay Ajayi was a good running back. But we've, and look, we saw LeSean McCoy here.
B. West, Shady. Yeah, we saw a lot of good ones.
Never saw anything like Saquon.
I agree.
It's like he's made in a lab somewhere. I've never seen anything like him. And, you know, it's funny you saying he was more fun to watch than Iverson, because I think I would say the thing that Iverson might have over all of these is fun to watch. I mean, especially
seeing more.
Yeah, and yeah, because he had the ball every single play, you know, and he was the only guy doing anything. Craig, it is it's Charles Barkley's birthday today. He is 62 years old. For next question today, the question is: give us somebody who had a great second act. Who do you got?
I'm going to show my age a little bit, but coincidentally, I'm the exact same age as Charles Barkley. I just had my birthday 2 weeks ago.
Happy birthday!
Happy belated birthday!
Yeah. So, I'm going to show my age. I'm going to go back a bit to a Hollywood actor who happened to be the Screen Actors Guild president and went on to become the president of the United States.
Oh, Ronald Reagan.
And one of the most popular presidents in modern history.
Ronald Reagan. That is a good second act.
Yeah.
And the only,
depends on how you feel about his presidency, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, thank you for the call, Craig. Back when he was president, like, it wasn't, there were Republicans and Democrats. It wasn't like crazy like it is now.
Oh, sure.
You know, it wasn't psychotic like it is now.
Reaganomics existed, though.
Yes, it did. It did. Well, we're not talking about policy.
Check this out. I didn't even realize, I don't even know Ronald Reagan as the president. So I didn't find out till later that he was an actual actor. You know what,
right.
It was the
you only knew Reagan as a president.
Yeah, I only knew him as a president.
Right, yeah.
And I think was it Back to the Future where Doc asked
about, said something about Ronald Reagan being an actor.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's when I first realized he was an actor.
Yeah.
Oh, like, really? Ronald Reagan was an actor?
Well, because he was an actor in what? Like this? It had to be the 50s.
Well, I think it was Westerns, right?
Yeah, because he was, no, I don't think it was Westerns, but he was president in the 80s. So he, it had to be in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then was he governor of California?
Yes.
I think Reagan was, right? Yeah. That's it. That's a strong second act, and the only political second act that's ever happened. Actually, there's a few, actually.
Yeah.
There's quite a few. There's there's actor ones, there's athlete ones, there are other ones.
Reality show ones,
there are other ones. So we'll talk a little bit about Myles Garrett coming up. AJ Brown did talk about Myles Garrett. Diana Rossini talked about Myles Garrett as well. And we haven't gotten to that Steve Cohen thing too. The owner of the Mets talked about Phillies fans, and we'll continue the conversation on AJ. If you have any thoughts on that, and is Saquon's 2024 the best individual Philadelphia sports season in the last 50 years? 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Make your special someone feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond engagement ring from Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Where does Saquon Barkley's 2024 season sit in Philadelphia history? Last 50 years for individual seasons. 73.3% say it is number one. 25.4% say it's number two through number four.
Yeah, so it's definitely one of the top four.
Yes, well, definitely one of the top four. I'm shocked that 73% have it as number one with the seasons it's going up against.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned, what have we mentioned? We've mentioned Iverson, 2010 Halliday.
That's a Doc,
What year is that Carlton 28 win season?
He said 74.
I think it's 74, right. And by the way, that's not the only Carlton great season, by the way, as well. There's one. And then I had Moses ahead of him, and I had Moses 82, 83, and Schmidt 1980. 215-592-9494. We'll have more from that A.J. Brown podcast. He also talked about Myles Garrett, and Diana Rossini talked about Myles Garrett, too, so we'll get to that. We should have had A.J. at the Radio Row with us, screaming at Myles
Garrett. He was a little busy.
Yeah, Stan and Fleetwood, you're on WIP. What's up, Stan?
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, Stan?
Yo, so Saquon Barkley, yeah, it's the best ever in, you know, Philly sports. Whoever broke that many records and won a championship in the same season.
Hmm. Well, he only broke one record, but it's a big record. Yeah, yeah.
Well, hold on. He broke the Eagles record, too.
Okay, two.
Yeah.
Two records. Yeah, two records. Two
most
records.
Rushing yards in a season by anybody ever.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah.
That's, how do we celebrate that?
Yeah, that's sort of phony record. Nobody thinks that's a real record. That's one thing I'll agree with you on, because
right.
I tried to take that position when we were debating whether he should rush or not, and even I, as I was saying it, was saying in my head, oh, that's not a real record. No one's ever talked about that record before. We made that record up to make him feel better.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
No, it's an incredible. I would say it's a great accomplishment.
Right.
It's just not a real record. Yeah, Stan, it's Charles Barkley's birthday. Who had a great second act?
Who else other than Nick Foles?
Oh, how about that?
Now, that is a good one. That is a good one, Stan. Now, that is
Nicky
same
six.
That is the same, you know, the same job or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, and he did have
a second act coming back here.
He has the weirdest career, I think, in all of sports. It would be less weird if he didn't have the 27-2 season. It's the 27-2 season, total failure, comes back as backup.
Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Then plays the next year, gets the team into the playoffs the next year when they're 4-8, right? I believe. They're 4-8, they ended up 8-8.
I don't know if they were 4-8.
I think they were when Wentz
6-8 maybe.
No, because he played four games
at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think he played four games at the end of the year.
Oh, so they must have been.
Yeah,
yeah, they would have had to have been 4-8.
And
I
then
guess.
And then basically asks for his release.
Yeah,
and then irrelevancy again. It's just the weirdest thing, man. He had two outrageous moments here for the Eagles.
Listen, that's a great answer.
Yeah,
second act.
Yeah,
Nick Foles. Yeah, because that's a second act.
I don't see you telling that guy it doesn't count because it's the same.
Well, I know because it was Nick Foles.
Okay.
Once you opened it up to that.
Yeah.
And now we can accept Nick Foles as a second act.
He did have a great second act. So
still not in the same vein as who we're celebrating today.
No, a different second
Charles
act.
Barkley had a completely different act.
Not completely. He's still talking about basketball.
Well, he wasn't talking at first. He was playing.
Athlete, then broadcaster. Just like Ike. Second act.
I would be considered a second act.
But I would say.
Thanks for that nomination.
Yes,
too,
I would say you have a second
act. I was going to nominate myself, but, you know, thank you.
But I would say, no one's going to get this. We're not going to give it to the person who gets it anyway. OJ's second act. Well, OJ had three acts. We won't talk about the third act. But I would say OJ's, he went from
player to
actor, right?
Oh, I would have said broadcaster.
Oh, and broadcaster.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But he was in Naked Gun.
Yeah,
he was, you know.
But he wasn't. In order to be good, the second act has to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't look at OJ as an actor.
He did act.
He did. No, he did. He definitely did. We know that.
He had a third act.
Yes, yes. He heard you.
All right. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure I got the joke in. Okay. So A.J. Brown.
Meanwhile, Netflix is running another O.J. special.
Are they?
Yes. As if we hadn't seen this before.
You know what I bought? I can't.
I actually watched it, too.
I don't have the heart to wear it. But I bought, you remember there's been a bunch of TV shows, but the one that had the actors in it that had Cuba Gooding Jr. in it that played OJ. The series that was on, the sort of, because Travolta was actually in that series too. Didn't he play Robert Kardashian? Wasn't Travolta in
that
series?
That was the ESPN one.
No, the ESPN was Doc. Was a documentary. This one was Fox or ABC.
I know
or
what
something.
You're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
The Cuba one, right?
Yeah, the Cuba.
Yeah, with John Travolta in there. Yeah, I remember that one.
So for $50, I bought a prop that was on that show that is a T-shirt that says "Run OJ Run."
Yeah.
But it has Cuba Gooding Jr.'s picture on it because it's from the TV show or whatever.
You know you're nuts, right?
Yeah,
right.
I know I'm nuts. It's just like, I thought to myself, how many of these can exist?
Not many, I'm assuming, yes.
$50. This is what happens when you don't have kids.
Right.
Spend money on.
You're in QVC just ordering stuff.
Yep. Just the amount of t-shirts I have that I can't even wear. We should do one of a week where we're not on camera.
Well, I will admit, I never see the same t-shirt.
No,
I don't think I've seen the same t-shirt.
I'll take a picture. I have a big closet.
Yeah.
3/4 of the closet.
Oh, I believe you. That's what I'm saying. I don't remember ever seeing the same t-shirt. No. You wear so many different ones. I don't think I would notice if it was the same.
I got a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah.
So Myles Garrett requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. We saw Myles Garrett at Radio Row. We screamed at him, future Eagle. He did grin. Here is A.J. Brown on the Kicking It With D podcast about Myles Garrett.
You never answer me, though. Any free agency right, one. You feel me? What is it looking like? Money don't matter. You could bring anybody. Oh my God,
an unlimited salary cap is off.
Honestly, that's what it'd be feeling like over here. Yeah. I'll say Myles Garrett.
Oh my God.
You know, adding him with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Sweat or Milton. But.
Bro, wasn't Max Crosby? Him. Max Crosby was tweeting some stuff with some Eagles emojis in it. You seen that?
Max.
Woo. You seen that?
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But I'm tight with Max, man.
Max can't go to Philly, bro.
That'll be incredible, man. That'll be incredible. I think the city will love him for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
So just because Myles Garrett requests a trade.
The city would love either one of those guys.
Yes.
The Myles or Max.
Yes. We would love both players.
Yes.
So. You know, just because he asked Cleveland to trade him doesn't mean that Cleveland has to. Mm-hmm. Here is Diana Rossini on whether the Browns will trade Myles Garrett.
I expect that to pick up, actually, over the next week or two, knowing that Myles Garrett's agent is going to be at the combine, talking to teams, talking to people around the league about what's going on. I can just tell you what I know at this point, and that's the Browns do not want to move him. They've gotten calls from teams in the NFC. They've gotten calls from teams in the AFC. And they've been told all the same thing. We're not moving him for now. So I have found the word for now interesting.
Yes.
Because the conversations I've had have been more, no, it's like, just kill the story. We're not trading him. It's over. Like, just stop. Myles is going to be in Cleveland. But for now, it makes it interesting. So I think we could see some movement, if there is any. If Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski wind up, let's say, maybe taking a page out of the way Houston did it with Deshaun Watson, where it was essentially an auction, right? Where it was everybody put together their best offers. And at the end, they made the decision of, okay, this is what we're going to do. So we'll see if it gets down there, if it goes down that road.
By the way, if I'm Cleveland, I'd absolutely trade Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
That team stinks. He's 29, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. By the time they're good again, he's not going to, you know, they're going to have to rebuild a little bit there. Yeah. They don't have a quarterback.
They are going to trade him.
Yeah, they'll trade him.
Yeah, they just, this is what you say when you're not giving him away.
So you said you'd trade 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett. Let me ask you this. If getting Myles Garrett not only cost you 2 first-round picks, but means... just for argument's sake, means Bond leaves, means Sweat leaves, means Milton Williams leaves, means Mekhi Becton leaves. Are you okay with all that?
Yes.
Wow. All 4 guys.
Yep.
And 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how great he is.
Yeah.
You put him next to Jalen Carter? Well, believe me.
We would keep us the number one defense.
I love Zach Bond.
Yeah.
We'll find another linebacker that can play behind that defensive line, believe me.
Yeah. Now you sound like Howie.
Yeah. We'll find another backer that can play behind that defense. Becton, ironically, would be the one that, like for me, Becton and Bond are my top two. I've settled on those two as my top two free agents.
Well, I think Milton Williams is going to get way overpaid.
Yeah. If I could only choose one defensive guy, I would choose Zach Bond. And obviously, Mekhi Becton is the only real offensive player that we have coming up for free agency. So I want to keep the continuity of the offensive line together. So I would bring him back. I think you can get him for cheaper than market value. There's a sentimental value of being here, having his best year, rediscovering who he is, and being comfortable, right? If they can give him a decent-sized contract that makes him feel appreciated, I think he'd be willing to stay. And I think Zach Bond's not going to cost you a whole lot.
I think
those are two I do. Those are two I would focus in on.
The thing that has made me start thinking about Milton Williams is the age.
Yeah,
he's 26 years old. He is. If you're talking about building a team for right now and the future, he makes more sense than Sweat. He makes more sense than Bond, because they're both 29 years old. Milton Williams is 26.
Well, Bond is 27.
Oh, I thought Bond was older than that.
No, Bond's 27. Oh,
then why are we so? We talk about his age. Elliot talks about his age being a negative. He's still got four prime years, right?
Well, yeah, I agree. But what Elliot's saying, because I know who told Elliot this.
Okay.
Paying a 27-year-old linebacker is different than paying a 25-year-old.
Oh, sure.
So those guys are the ones who get the big contracts. The 27-year-old linebackers usually get that medium contract where it's like 3 or 4 years. And so that's why I don't think Bond's number would be as outrageous as a Milton Williams number would be, or Josh Sweat. That's really what I think it comes down to. I think of the four, those two are probably going to be the cheapest of the four to sign.
What do you think the total, give a percentage chance, Eagles trade for Myles Garrett?
I think it's slim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I just don't know if they got enough capital to do it. Draft capital.
So it's like
we're drafting at the back of the draft.
Right.
You know,
you need more picks almost because you're not going to be bad.
Those are essentially a second-round draft pick right there when you're picking 32. And Cleveland's smart. They're going to wait till they get to the combine. They're going to open up the bidding war there, and they're going to find out who is desperate enough that they're willing to give up major draft capital. Where does it put them in the draft with that draft capital? Ironically, a team like Washington isn't that much higher than we are. What is Washington, like the 28th pick, 29th pick?
They were in the NFC
Championship.
Because
they were in the NFC Championship game. So their first-round pick isn't that great either. So then it becomes, what are you doing future picks? Future picks to Cleveland, with teams like us and Washington, they're still going to be back end of the draft type of picks.
Right.
So if you're trying to get something higher in the draft, then maybe you're waiting for a team that's isn't as good as these teams. Problem is, Myles Garrett wants to go to a team that's a contender.
Right. And because if you sign Myles Garrett, you're probably going to want to extend him.
Yeah.
He's got 2 years left on his deal. Pretty fair deal, by the way. He's making $20 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, Myles Garrett on the open market is a $35 million
easily
a year guy. Right?
Yeah. Probably. You trade for him, you're going to pay him.
Yeah.
You have to pay him. You're going to pay him.
Which is the advantage the Commanders have just in terms of they've got more cap space than anybody, so they can pay him. 215-592-9494. Rob and Sharon Hill, you're on WIP. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for letting me come on.
Yes, sir.
So I had to take a step back and think real hard because somebody mentioned Halliday earlier, but I would definitely think that just because of everything he's done, Saquon has to be my number one. I mean, AI was great, too. I had to think hard about that one as well, but like, everything that Saquon did and helped uplift the team, you know, get them to where they are, help them win the chip and everything. I just thought they were phenomenal in every aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know what it is with this team that's so amazing? That I don't know if we really fully realized it until after the Super Bowl or maybe midway through that Super Bowl. They were the best team in football this year. If you look for consistency, if you look for whatever measurables you want to use, like the Eagles, after that bye week, they lost one game that the quarterback didn't even finish, the first quarter of the game, and they could have easily won that game.
Yeah, and the Chiefs
would have run off 16 straight wins.
And the Chiefs won 17 games, but they clearly weren't the best team.
No. Not averaging 22 points a game.
Yeah, the Lions are the argument, and they were so
right.
You know, it's hard because of the injuries, so you almost judge them about what they were at the end instead of what they were the entire season.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you go beginning to end, the best team won the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
It was the Eagles were the best team in the league. They were not a perfect team, but they were as good as we could have hoped. And by the way, in ways that we didn't think they were going to be good. Yeah, I think the Eagles were.
I think the Eagles had more, like their wins were a better quality than the Lions' wins. I don't know how many good teams. If I would have to go back and look at the Lions' schedule.
Well, you'd have to.
What are the top teams they beat?
It depends on. So they lost to Buffalo, right? Did they lose to Buffalo? It depends on how you judge the Minnesota and Green Bay wins.
Well, Minnesota's a fraud.
Right.
They didn't even win a playoff game.
But neither did the Lions.
Oh, that's right. They did.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Then
and neither did the Packers.
So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Then maybe their division was not as good as their record indicated.
Yeah,
that,
no
that,
idea.
That's a serious mark against them.
Right.
Nobody in that division won a playoff game.
Yeah, it's crazy. It actually is crazy. Yeah. Rob, for second act, who had a great second act for next question today?
Okay, so I'm going to have to pick another rapper. So I'm going to go with Snoop Dogg.
Ooh, yeah.
He had a nice, phenomenal career in the 90s, disappeared somewhere in the late 2000s, and then he comes back and he's everywhere, you know, has a podcast.
He's everywhere.
A reality star. He's a judge. he's doing everything. He's hanging out with Martha Stewart.
Right, right. Mm. Yeah, I got to go with Snoop, man.
All right, thank you, Rob.
You don't think Snoop had a second act?
He never went away. I don't think Snoop was always a rapper. Snoop even had like he did a horror movie in there somewhere, but
yeah,
like
Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. That was terrible.
Star of the Olympics, though.
What's that?
He Star was, of the Olympics. Was, I'm just saying.
He was in the Olympics.
So then I would say this was Snoop. He went from the gangster rapper guy, right?
Yeah.
To
an icon.
Now America loves Snoop. He's everybody's uncle. He made smoking weed easy. I mean, like he made that a mainstream thing for people.
Is that why it's legal?
I don't know, but I'm just saying. Has anybody been more commercialized with smoking than Snoop?
Just Cheech and Chong.
Right.
I think those are the only person that you could put in his.
I agree. Cheech and Chong, yeah.
I'm thinking about, I don't think.
You guys like, did he light a torch at the Olympics?
At the Olympics, yeah.
Did you ever think Snoop would be lighting torches at the Olympics?
Dude, he had a murder trial. You know, he was on trial for murder.
Yeah.
Now look, we'll judge at the end of the show as to what is best. And I'm not saying that Snoop doesn't count. I just don't think I don't think Snoop was ever down and out. Like, I don't think there was a point where people, he might have been not as visible, but.
So now you have to be down and out?
No.
I thought it just meant you reinvented yourself.
But I don't think he reinvented himself. He was always a weed guy.
Snoop reinvented himself?
He was always a weed guy.
This guy's commercials everywhere.
You know what happened? He got older.
I've never seen Snoop on TV.
No.
Except for videos.
I think we got numb to who Snoop was and we accepted him.
Yeah.
But he was always a weed guy.
Yeah.
He was always a rapper.
Yeah.
I don't know what a second act is. I think we had a second act. I don't think Snoop had a second act. So he just hung around long enough.
Snoop is on The Voice. He said he's cooking with Martha Stewart. I never would envision Snoop doing this stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think he had a second act like Ice Cube. If we're going to talk rapper to rapper, Ice Cube had a real second act. Like, there's a division in between Ice Cube career one and Ice Cube career two. I don't think there is a line in between Snoop career one and Snoop career two.
I think there's a second act to Snoop.
I say no. We'll see when we judge at the end. Yoshi in Brewery Town, you're on WIP. What's up, Yosh?
My man's Mike, Big Ike, Francisco, what's poppin'? Jack, love you, baby. Come on back. We miss you.
You excited for Honest Jack at 5?
Yosh?
I am so. When you said that Honest Jack was doing the top 5, I was like, boy, I'm going to go back in and record that and just hold it and hold it. And I'm going to send it to him and play it back over and over whenever he annoyed me when we texted. But yeah, I'm excited for Honest Jack. I enjoyed him when he stepped in the last time.
Yep.
And real quick, on that AJ thing, man, what's that? I love AJ. You know, I kind of used to be a person like AJ. But, you know, I started doing different things, what's saying, and it just made me this person. Energetic, love everybody, don't let stuff get in the way. Don't take nothing to heart no more. I love AJ. I think he's going to be all right. And yesterday when y'all was talking about, when you said AJ got mad because you played that thing on your, when he put the video.
Clip.
Yeah. Great. Anyway.
Concentrate, man.
What's going on in there?
Well, he's looking at somebody. He's looking at somebody. Yeah, I know it.
Get on some sweatpants.
All right. Back to what you were saying.
Yeah, what's saying? That wasn't when he got. That might be one of them. But I'm going to tell you, Sprite, you started that whole daggone fight. Chuck called up. And he went in on AJ. He had a little Chuck rant.
Okay.
And then what's the name? You called in and you elaborated on it. And what's the name? On the little AJ thing and everything. What's the name? Telling AJ do this and you need to get out your way. Whatever you were saying that day. You said a lot of stuff. Next thing you know, AJ calls the radio station. And he goes, You were the main reason all that started.
But the main reason was he saw a clip that he thought was about him because Slay tweeted it out too. That clip was not about him though.
But being as though he was thinking that was about him, and then you go on the radio after Chuck's little Chuck rant and say what you say, like
I didn't remember the Chuck rant.
Hey man, me and Jack was talking about it one day. I'm telling you, Spike, you were a vocal part in AJ snapping on the radio. I'm telling you, I think I got that saved in the archive somewhere. It's classic. And Saquon, man, I've seen a lot in Philly. I love the Saquon year because it was TV type stuff. I mean, 17 runs of 20 yards or more, 7 yards of 40 yards or more. I mean, how many 75 yarders did he have? 50 yarders did he have? I mean, and then the boy just goes and turn a 5-yard run into something superhero-like. I mean, runs, jumps over a guy backwards. I mean, it's just beautiful. And then he helped us get a Super Bowl. And like y'all said, even in the Super Bowl, they focus so much on him, Jalen got to blossom again in that great moment. So I'm going to give it to AJ. And my second act, I mean, y'all naming rappers. What about LL Cool J, man?
Ooh.
What's that LL Cool J? One of the greatest rap careers ever. I think he went 10 albums platinum straight.
Yes, sir.
Then what's the thing he get on? He do a couple of movies and stuff. Then he get on CSI. At the time, I think it was like the number one show on TV. Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Uncle L. Ladies love Cool J. Plus, I'm licking my lips like him right now. Now I'm saying. Hey, man, love y'all cats. Let's keep it popping. Holler tomorrow, baby.
All right, there he is. Yoshi.
Cool so J, why is L. Cool J not?
I think he is. I mean, he was in, you remember Deep Blue Sea, the shark movie?
Yes.
That was okay. He was, I feel like he's just had a long career too.
Second act. He was a rapper.
Right.
He turned into an actor.
But he's still a rapper. Well,
he's not a rapper.
He just put out a record last year.
Nobody's buying that nonsense. Okay. I mean, I could make an album too. That wouldn't make me a rapper.
Well, I think it would.
L. Cool J's rapping days should be over.
Yes,
he
think
should
they
not
should.
Be rapping.
No, he should be doing sit-ups and whatever else he
L. Cool J, man.
Yeah.
He's one of the first that did the crossover. He had the crossover appeal.
Yep.
Right? He went from the Queens, New York rapper, rough and rugged, to the ladies' love. You know, he did that whole thing. And, you know, L. Cool J, man. L. Cool J's not on my Mount Rushmore, but man.
Don't you feel like Yoshi sits at home and like watches LL Cool J videos and tries to like mimic him?
Yeah.
You know,
because he wears the tight shirts.
You know he's looking at the lick lipping, and you know Yoshi tries to do that as well.
He likes to have his arms out.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. L. Cool J, man.
215-592-9494. Is Saquon's 2024 the best?
Rock the Bells.
Individual. Great tune.
Man. Crush Groove.
Which was...
Remember Crush Groove?
Yeah. Do you know, I'll have to tell you a different story. I met a guy who was in Crush Groove.
Crush Groove?
Yeah. It's like an old white Swedish guy. I think he was in Crush Groove, though. He was one of the guy's managers in Fitness Sports Network.
When I was a kid, man, my brothers, I had my friends, I had relatives, they used to call me Cool Rock Ski, man.
Oh, really?
From the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
They said I looked like Cool Rock Ski, man.
I'm going to have to go.
I wasn't big at Cool Rock Ski, but I definitely favored
like him
complexion wise, head shape wise, and everything else.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, Cool Rock Ski, man.
215-592-9494. Is Saquon's 2024 the best Philadelphia individual season over the last 50 years? Uh-huh. Also, if you have any reactions to the stuff that AJ said about Jalen, Nick Sirianni, and his Instagram post, we'll actually get to that in a bit again. We'll play that if you missed it. ESP was talking about extending two veterans on the Eagles, giving them contract extensions who are already under contract. So we'll talk about that as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.